Thank you, Blessing and Jonga. Good evening, Zimbabwe. You are listening to Studio 7 from the Voice of America on Tuesday, August 12th, 2014. Thank you for joining us live from Washington. This is Sandra Nyaira.
And I'm Chris Gande.
Here are our top stories this evening.
President Robert Mugabe praises the Zimbabwe Defense Forces for maintaining peace in the country, the region, and Africa through United Nations peacekeeping missions.
Despite the sanctions, the Zimbabwe Defense Forces have remained resolute in guaranteeing the defense and security of our country.
Relief South Africa announces it is extending the special dispensation residence permits for Zimbabweans in that country by 3 years.
I am also announcing that the Zimbabwean special dispensation permit will kick off as of the 1st of January 2015 until the 31st December 2017.
And Human Rights Watch urges Harare to respect international statutes in addressing the crisis at the Chingwizi holding camp.
Zimbabwe is required to ensure that all displaced people have safe access to food, to water, to shelter, to medical care, to health services, to sanitation, education and other necessary services.
The Zimbabwe Defense Forces marked its 34th anniversary today, with President Robert Mugabe praising the force for maintaining peace in the country, as well as taking part in regional and international peacekeeping missions. Ivan Chifera reports from Harare.
Mr. Mugabe told thousands who thronged the National Sports Stadium to mark the day that the Zimbabwe Defense Forces' commitment to national security was second to none. He said, apart from their security duties, the forces were also transforming people's lives through community services, such as constructing schools and providing food aid through programs like Operation Maguta.
The Zimbabwe Defense Forces have faced some challenges, largely induced by the heinous illegal sanctions imposed by the European Union and the United States of America. Despite the sanctions, the Zimbabwe Defense Forces have remained resolute in guaranteeing the defense and security of our country. Working in conjunction with the Zimbabwe Republic Police, the forces continue to safeguard our country's borders as well as curbing smuggling, poaching, and cattle rustling.
He said the defense forces enjoy cordial relations with their regional counterparts and are currently involved in the setting up of the Southern African Development Community and African Union Standby or Rapid Response Forces.
The Zimbabwe Defense Forces continue to make significant contributions towards the development of the SADC and African Union standby forces. In this regard, the Zimbabwe Defense Forces have played a leading role in contributing intellectual, material, and military capacities. Our Defense Forces have participated in regional exercises as part of the build-up and operationalization of the standby force.
Zimbabwean soldiers have served in regional campaigns in Mozambique and the Democratic Republic of Congo and have also done and continue to do peacekeeping duties under the United Nations in countries like South Sudan and Nepal. To date, the Zimbabwe Defense Forces has deployed more than 5,000 soldiers to various countries on UN peacekeeping missions. Harare resident Itai Matsvaidze commended the forces, especially for their service during UN peacekeeping missions.
No, Zimbabwe Defense Forces Day commemorations mark a very important day in the history of Zimbabwe, especially in the international arena where we find that Zimbabwean forces have been deployed to so many African countries on peacekeeping missions, and reports show that they have been doing their job with diligence and they have been doing their job up to expectations. And I think the commemorations are befitting a caliber of dedicated soldiers. Just an army.
President Mugabe used the occasion to honor 21 Liberation War heroes with Liberation and Independence Medals. The 21, who include John Makwasha, Pilot Duwe, Shadrick Chipanga, Irene Maesera Duwe, and Florence Miti, were pioneers of the armed wings of the liberation struggle.
I feel to be very much honored by His Excellency President to give me this special honor. To be given the medals of the great works I did with my colleagues.
Several other officers were honored for their heroic exploits in the Democratic Republic of Congo War, which was known as Operation Sovereign Legitimacy in the later 90s. Zimbabwe commemorates Defense Forces Days the second week of August. This year, the commemorations were held under the theme Tracing the Genesis of the Zimbabwe Defense Forces. Reporting for Studio 7 from Harare, this is Ivan Chifera.
Meanwhile, the MDC renewal team has called on the ruling ZANU-PF party to stop politicizing the security forces. Interim Chairman Sam Sipepa Nkomo says Mugabe and his party should respect the new constitution and stop exploiting the military for expediency purposes.
I think, first of all, you need to start with the government itself. The government itself must become the government of the people, for the people, and by the people. And the people, once you are a government, refers to all those that live in that country. And all those citizens that live outside the country become their government. Even those that did not vote for you, you become their government. And you become the government, even of the members of the opposition, that you would actually regard everybody as equal before the law. But that's because it's happening. Because if you, the ZANU-PF ministers still make pronouncements, as late as last week, still make pronouncements that, yes, you people here, you voted for a member of parliament from the opposition. Now, to me, development has nothing to do with who you voted for. Development is that you develop every part of the country, whether they voted for an opposition or they did not vote for an opposition. And they are, we are soldiers forever. They don't ask before they give a service as to which political party you belong to. That's what I think is happening. That's what will bring us all together. That's what will make us feel at home in the national event and not feel that we are not wanted.
MDC Renewal Team Interim Chairman Sam Sipepa Nkomo from Bulawayo.
The South African government says it is extending by 3 years the special residence permits for Zimbabwean migrants living and working in that country. The permits were issued in 2010 following negotiations between South Africa and Zimbabwean authorities during the unity government era. Blessing Zulu hears more.
South Africa's Home Affairs Minister Malusi Gigaba today announced that Pretoria will be extending the Zimbabwe Special Dispensation Permits by 3 more years. The permits, issued in 2010, allowed about 245,000 previously undocumented Zimbabweans to formalize their stay in South Africa, while more than 6,000 bearers of illegally obtained South African documents were granted amnesty from a crackdown that nabbed thousands others. Kigawa told reporters in Pretoria, after meeting several groups representing Zimbabweans in South Africa, that the new program begins early next year.
The Zimbabwean Special Dispensation Permit will kick off as of the 1st January 2015 until the 31st December 2017.
But Mr. Kigawa was quick to remind Zimbabweans that there will be conditions attached to the renewal.
Any Zimbabwean national who wishes after the ZSP to stay further in South Africa must now go back to Zimbabwe, apply for a normal visa on the basis of which they can then return to South Africa. This special permit is provided for in terms of Section 32B that the minister may, under special circumstances, announce a permit of this nature. And it entitles the holders to work, to study, to conduct business. The requirements for qualification are evidence of work, of study, of business, and a clear criminal record.
The majority of groups representing Zimbabweans in South Africa welcomed the development. South Africa newspaper BD Live quotes People Against Suffering and Oppression spokesman Braham Hainakom as hailing the move as a welcome relief. Zimbabwe community in South Africa chairperson Ngabuto Mabena concurs, but is that he is concerned about those Zimbabweans who had not applied, fearing prosecution by Pretoria, having stayed in the country illegally.
We are actually excited that people then get another 3 years. But of course, the other point that we needed was to document all these other Zimbabweans that have been documented. So we believe that part, in our view, were let down.
Spokesman Daniel Muzenda of the Zimbabwe Migrants Association says his group too will continue to push for the inclusion of Zimbabweans who did not initially apply in the special permit scheme.
We are also going to push as an organization for the minister to reconsider this position again on those people who are still not documented, those who failed to get the permits in 2010.
Thousands of struggling Zimbabweans are expected to continue trekking down south as the country's economic problems mount. Unofficial reports say unemployment is hovering around 90% in Zimbabwe, leaving many with no choice but to look for greener pastures elsewhere. Reporting for Studio 7, this is Blessing Zulu in Washington.
You are listening to Studio 7 for Zimbabwe from the Voice of America in Washington.
Studio 7 can be found on the 4930, 5930 and 15455 kHz shortwave frequencies. We also broadcast on 909 medium wave or AM frequency.
The Zimbabwe Congress of Trade Unions says it is concerned with the way some companies are casualizing labor by putting workers on short contracts while their jobs are permanent. ZCTU Secretary General Japhet Moyo says that these companies are trying to avoid providing benefits such as medical and pensions to employees. The Confederation of Food and Allied Workers Union of Zimbabwe says the practice is rife in the food industry. The union says this is a new form of exploitation of workers. Studio 7 could not reach the Employers' Confederation of Zimbabwe for comment, but Moyo tells reporter Jonga Kandemiri that the issue was discussed at the tripartite negotiating forum meetings.
These are the pieces of legislation we dealt with when we attained our independence and they removed them. But there is a push to revise or to reintroduce them. We see across sectors, all the employers have put proposals that they want everyone to be on temporal or on casual or on fixed term contracts so that it becomes easier to remove those people from employment when there isn't enough work.
How widespread is this problem, Mr. Moyo?
Like employers are saying these are low hanging fruit. Because of the challenges they are facing, they believe that to sustain the remaining companies, they would rather be allowed to hire and release employees as they wish to maintain the wage cost.
And as ZCTU, what are you doing to try and address this issue?
When we were working on the labor law reform, the proposal put forward, and we believe that it was accepted, was that the NECs are supposed to put limits to these fixed-term contracts instead of allowing workers to be on temporal or on casual work for 20 years or so. They need to put a stop to it. They need to put a limit to those fixed-term contracts so that those workers are able to get benefits like loans in the banks, departmental stores, pension schemes, medical aid, so that they benefit. So we have assigned the MSCs to deal with the issue of fixed-term contracts.
And that was ZCTU Secretary General Japhet Moyo on the line from Cholocho in Matabeleland North.
Human Rights Watch is urging Harare to respect international statutes that it signed in addressing the crisis at the Chingwizi holding camp, where over 20,000 people are being forcibly evicted to a Nwanetsi range in Mashingo province. The villagers are telling Studio 7 that they are being dumped in no man's land by the government, which has failed to raise $9 million needed to compensate them as stipulated in the constitution. Human Rights Watch says in a statement released today that the government should ensure that the displaced people are not denied their rights under international law and Zimbabwe's constitution, including their rights to health, shelter, food, and the prohibition of torture.
The rights group says the African Union Convention for the Protection and Assistance of Internally Displaced Persons in Africa, which Zimbabwe ratified, requires in Article 9, Section 2b, that states parties ensure that, quote, all displaced people have safe access to food, water, shelter, medical care, and other health services, sanitation, education, and any other necessary social services. The group is urging the government to urgently restore health facilities at the camp, direct police to end their alleged violent campaign against the villagers, and assure those in hiding that they can return to the camp safely. Human Rights Watch researcher Dewama Vinga tells Studio 7's Blessing Zulu that the situation at Chingwizi is disturbing.
It's quite a grave humanitarian situation that is unfolding at Chingwizi camp, where some 20,000 displaced people who were displaced from the Togo Mkosi Dam in February this year have been displaced yet again because they are being pushed and forced into accepting 1 hectare plots per family, which land they would not have any land tenure rights on. Last week was a widespread police violence at the camp, which has made the camp virtually a war zone, and this is quite worrying, and particularly also government failure to take seriously the plight of the people at Chingwizi camp and to address their needs and to protect their rights as displaced people in Zimbabwe.
Are there any international statutes that can protect these people at Chingwizi?
Well, yes, as a matter of fact, Zimbabwe signed and ratified the African Union Convention on the Protection and Assistance of Internally Displaced Persons in Africa. And it's a very important statute that actually says Zimbabwe is required to ensure that all displaced people have safe access to food, to water, to shelter, to medical care, to health services, to sanitation, to education and other necessary services.
That was Human Rights Watch researcher Dewama Vinga on the line from Johannesburg with Studio 7's Blessing Zulu.
A hero is described in some dictionaries as a man of distinguished courage or ability, admired for his brave deeds and noble qualities. A person who, in the opinion of others, has heroic qualities or has performed a heroic act and is regarded as a role model or ideal. The definition has been a major cause of disagreements in Zimbabwe over the years, with President Robert Mugabe's party picking and choosing heroes and heroines as it pleases, ignoring erstwhile but deserving colleagues. Some Zimbabweans are now calling for the establishment of an independent panel to confer national hero status on deserving individuals. In this second and last installment of A Closer Look on Heroes Day, our correspondent Thomas Chiripasi spoke to some academics and filed this report.
While ZANU-PF has monopolized and politicized the conferment of the country's national heroes and heroines, some academics like Harare lawyer Justice Mave Dzenge say the duty should not be left to ZANU-PF alone. Because of this partisan approach, Mave Dzenge says heroes lying at the national shrine have ceased to be national but ZANU-PF heroes.
They can only be national heroes maybe if, for some reason, when you look at people like Rex Nongo, these are people that, yes, the Politburo conferred hero status upon him, but the nation agrees that he is a hero. As you could see by the numbers of people that attended his funeral. But most of these other people that are being conferred heroes, they are ZANU-PF heroes. They will never be national heroes.
Co-chairperson of the Harare Metropolitan Residents Forum, Israel Mabowo, says the government should set up an all-inclusive independent commission made up of representatives from all political parties, churches and the social movement to decide who should and should not be declared a national hero.
I don't have any violent objection to the commission setting, but the question is, how is that, who then identifies that commission? That becomes another challenge, because if then it again becomes a baby of a party, then the accolades of the commission becomes again another issue. So my thinking would be, we've got a ministry which has been doing the national healing. Why not task that ministry to come up with the terms of reference, like the JOMIC kind of a setup? Why can't you have something along those models? That could definitely be the solution to issue of the identification of heroes.
Mave Zenge argues that such a panel should be appointed by parliament.
I suggest that there be a committee that is set up by parliament. That committee must operate much in the same way that other independent commissions that are provided for under our constitution operate.
Programs coordinator of the Female Students Network, Eva Nice Munando, agrees with the idea of setting up of an independent commission. She adds that the Heroes Act should also be made readily available so Zimbabweans can make their input into the legislation by suggesting amendments.
And I feel this act, if there is a body which also oversees into those acts and also how can it be communicated to the citizens of Zimbabwe, I'm sure that will be very helpful.
Munando says conferment of national hero status should go beyond partisan politics and move towards recognizing people in other sectors who would have contributed to national development.
But you are saying we are young people. We are growing and also contributing towards national development. I'm sure somebody and someone can be awarded for national development as those heroes, so to speak.
Crisis in Zimbabwe spokesperson Mfundo Mlilo tells Studio 7 that the selective conferring of national heroes and heroines demonstrates the leadership crisis in the country. Without mentioning names, Mlilo said there are so many people in the opposition that have contributed immensely to the country's economic growth that also deserve to be declared heroes and heroines.
It's a problem that lies within the center of the crisis of leadership that we see in ZANU-PF, because they are the ones who are in power, and for them, someone who is a hero is someone who has fought in the liberation struggle, which we greatly recognize. But the specter of heroship is wide. Someone like Oliver Mtukudzi can easily become a Zimbabwean hero because he has been a singer for a very long time. There are many people who are heroes to this country, and that honestly cannot be confined to people who went to war.
Home Affairs Minister Kembo Mohadi told Studio 7 by phone that he could not comment on the suggestions to set up an independent commission. But President Mugabe has repeatedly chided the MDC, saying it should choose its own mountain and build its own hero's acre if it wants to have a say on who is and who is not a hero in the country. He said only people who participated in the liberation struggle may be buried at the national shrine. It remains to be seen whether the ruling party will agree to the formation of an independent panel to deal with the hero issue. Reporting for Studio 7 from Harare, this is Thomas Chiripasi.
Zimbabwe reggae artist Buffalo Soldier says he feels honored to have been selected to perform on the sidelines of last week's US-Africa Leaders Summit as part of the Do Agri campaign run by One, a non-profit organization that is encouraging sustainable growth in Africa's economy through agriculture. A Buffalo Soldier, whose real name is Thabani Ndlovu and is based in South Africa, spoke with Studio 7's Marvelous Mhlanga Nyahuye.
We in the One Campaign do agree that, you know, do agree it pays. We just basically just trying to send the message to the youth that you can also get into farming and do agriculture besides doing any corporate work or gig. They were looking at artists that are dominant in their country, also known in Africa, but young artists, you know what I mean? Young artists that are known in their country and known in Africa. So I think that's how my name came about, being Zimbabwean, but also being one Zimbabwean that is recognized in the rest of Africa.
Who are some of the notable artists that are on this campaign?
The band is from South Africa. Here there was Judy Sipuma, then there was Victoria Kimani, she's from Kenya, and then AY from Tanzania.
Take us through the campaign itself. What does it involve you as an artist to do?
Our leaders tend to make promises that they don't, they keep. I think what one is there for is just to keep reminding and just keep nagging the other leaders that you've made promises. Like they made a promise in Malibu that they would give 10% of the money to agriculture. They would actually donate the money to agriculture. So what one is doing is just reminding them to say, okay, look, the youth just needs the voice. And we are the voice of the youth to say, okay, look, the money is there. The African leaders just need to put it out there for the youth to say, okay, look, obviously, like when the youth are ready to farm, they're going to be like, okay, so where do we start from here and where do we go from here? You know, there probably going to be workshops that's going to be set up and whatever, hence our meetings at the World Bank and so forth.
Are you then telling us that artists like yourself and the other 18 artists from Africa are actually taking on a more active role in being involved in how their countries are run?
Definitely we are, you know what I mean? And I mean, everybody else is doing the same in their countries, and with me already, also with my team here personally, my management team, we're also trying to also get some proposals over to the government of Zimbabwe as well to just best we can also go with this, and how best can we send the message to the youth about farming, and also how best can we get to them to also see how they can put in money in agriculture. You know, that involves the whole campaign also for Zimbabwe. And they've had their own structures of how they with the land distribution and everything, you know what I mean? But we don't really see the youth wanting to be part of it because it was almost as if it was a political movement. For me, I just speak on behalf of the youth and how all the youth would feel, you know, about farming and how we grew up feeling about farming. It was always that dirty, it's farming village, something that is village, something that is backward, something that is associated with being dirtiness. So we're trying to make the youth understand that it's also cool. It could also be a cool job.
That was Buffalo Soldier speaking with Studio 7's Marvelous Mhlanganya Huye from South Africa.
Today is World Elephant Day. International campaigns have been launched to raise awareness and to stop the poaching of elephants, especially on the African continent. Reporter Tatenda Gumbo spoke with Johnny Rodriguez, who is the chairman of the Zimbabwe Conservation Task Force, who says much needs to be done to tackle and raise proper awareness on the plight of elephants on the continent.
It is a serious problem, and we need this awareness to be spread around the world, because we need a lot of help to actually contain this. But then the other problem is that if government doesn't commit itself to conserving these animals for the future generation, then I believe we've got a problem.
It is estimated that there are around 500,000 elephants throughout Africa. What's the case in Zimbabwe in regards to the number of elephants in the country?
Look, the authorities keep telling everybody, one minute they say there's 100,000, the next minute they say there's 120,000. There's no sort of audit that's been done since 97, I believe. And we estimate that the elephants in Zimbabwe are between 35 and 45,000 and nothing more than that. So, you know, there's a lot of figures where there's a controversy about the figures of the animals, even though we should be actually being the guardians of these animals and try and protect them instead of just exploiting them, you know, for the ivory.
Many organizations are saying that government response has been a bit low rather than they would have wanted. What do you think needs to happen in regards to this issue?
Well, the issue here is that we, you know, we don't get that much tourism, and normally tourism is one of the best foreign currency earners for the industry, and we haven't got that. And the big issue is that the authorities itself haven't got the money to pay the salaries of the staff, and that creates a problem. You know, government should make sure that these people are well housed and paid for them to carry out their duties.
Johnny Rodriguez is the chairman of the Zimbabwe Conservation Task Force.
Lastly, veteran U.S. actor, comedian Robin Williams was found dead yesterday at his home in Northern California, the victim of an apparent suicide. He was 63.
The local sheriff's office says Williams was found unconscious and not breathing by emergency personnel who were called to his home. A very sad story, Chris. We all remember Mrs. Doubtfire in Zimbabwe. You will be sadly missed. Good night, Zimbabwe. That's all we had for you tonight. This is Sandra Nyaira signing off.
And I'm Chris Gande. Don't forget Studio 7 Live Talk, and we'll be talking about the special dispensation permits for Zimbabweans in South Africa. Good night.